As a child, we used to sing a Sunday school song, "I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart." The question for all of us is, does the joy remain there? Pastor Tim talks about it today, dealing with the fruit of the Spirit, joy. Thanks for joining us.
Well, let me ask you this question here. We will be back in Galatians chapter 5, being in verse 19 in just a few minutes. But what controls our conduct? How we act, basically. You know, we walk in the Spirit, by the Spirit. It really must mean that it should control our conduct on how we act, how we live. It's being directed by the Holy Spirit. Who is controlling your conduct? You know, we often can get hurt by others and the things that we say, the things that we do, and we proclaim Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But there's at times that we will receive some really bad stuff and it hurts our hearts, or we can dish it out. You know, so what's happening within us? You know, the works of the flesh, they derive from us. But the fruit of the Spirit, again, it comes from the Lord. So there's a difference. One comes from Him and one comes from man. If I'm walking, if I'm doing the works of the flesh, guess what? That's coming from man. But if the fruit of the Spirit are in my life, guess what? That's coming through the Jesus Christ, through His Holy Spirit. And so we have to judge ourselves in a certain sense. You know, if we sense a conflict when we're dealing with personal relationships, you know, in that the conflict, one of the things I do in counseling a lot is one of the things that we have to talk about is how do we deal with conflict in our relationships, in our marriage relationships. Oftentimes, I've had a few times in family relationships, you know, how we deal with this conflict. You know, we should feel a certain way when we sense that we're not walking in spirit, but we're doing the works of the flesh. As a Christian, conviction should come. It's when we, whatever that is, in that moment, in that split moment, something should rise up in us. Something should change in us. Something that spurs that moment that says, "Oh, what did I just do? You know? What just happened there? What did I just do?" It should hurt our hearts. It should be a moment that the Holy Spirit is really working within our lives when we go across that line of getting into works of the flesh. It should bring conviction. It should do something within us. I just think we as Christians in 2019, we have come to a place that we've gotten so callous, I think, maybe, to that. Only you can answer that for yourself, and only I can answer that. That we become a callous to what the Holy Spirit is wanting to do in our life. Let me ask this question. When's the last time you felt real conviction? When's the last time that you really sensed in your spirit, in your heart, true conviction? I shared with you just a few Sundays ago, I had a really come to Jesus meeting about my health and about my eating, and my wife can stand and testify. For two weeks now, I've done pretty good, haven't I? I've done pretty good. I lost a pound. I'm upset with God. I'm mad at Him. I go to sleep at night with that question on my mind. I said, "Look here." And Brother Heath is sitting out there and said, "I hadn't seen you at the gym, though, Tim." I know what he's saying. If you want a great gym to go to, you need to go to Heath's gym. He's probably thinking, "Yeah, you need to live what you preach." But yes, that was conviction in my life. He convicted me. And conviction has hopefully moved us to the direction that He wants us to. And so if we're living in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit, then we must in those moments have those moments in our life that when He begins to really speak to us and show us something, that it moves us. Because if it does not move us, then we just feel bad about something. we felt a little, we feel kind of bad about that. But it doesn't move us to change. Because works of the flesh, sometimes it says in the word here we're about to read, it gratifies us. We have to get gratification from it. It gratifies us. So when's the last time that you were really been real conviction, a conviction in our hearts? Galatians 5, verse 19. We're going to Galatians 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are obvious. Once again, as a Christian, Paul was saying the works of the flesh should be, you should know this by now. In other words, they are just, it's there. You should know this. But they're fornication. They're in impurity. They're in that word I never can say. They're in idolatry. It's a sorcery. Enmities. A strife. Jealousy. Anger. Quarrels. Dissensions. Factions. Envy. Drunkenness. Carousing. I can't wait to preach on that. That's carousing. In that word, carousing. I said to my children, what are y'all doing? Carousing? And things like these. He says, I am warning you as I warned you before. Now listen to that. I am warning you as I have warned you before. And in other words, in Paul's mind, I've already said this to you one time. I am warning you as I have warned you before. In other words, let's go over all this again. Those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Pretty plain, isn't it? Pretty plain. Verse 24, and a contrast of fruit of spirit, listen, is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and generosity, faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. See, I can say all of those because they're godly. You're going to catch up in a minute. There is no law against such things. In other words, you cannot, in your own strength, do any of those. You might can get by with it for a little while, but sooner or later it's going to catch you with you. But those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. In other words, as Jesus went to the cross and crucified, he's using this language here. It has to be crucified, the flesh, with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Okay? In other words, he's not leaving us alone. Now, we're going to go over this every week until I feel like that I've got it. Okay? If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited. In other words, don't think that we have arrived yet. Competing against one another and, what's that word say? Envying one another. And that's God's word today. That's today we're going to talk about impurity. That works of the flesh, that in impurity, you know, on this face value, we would have to define it means something that is not pure. But this a word can mean several things. It can mean like an infection from a sore, and a very sore that is, you know, you see that wound and it's infected and it looks bad, it looks impure. You know, or a tree that it hasn't been pruned. You know, there's some beautiful trees, but if it's not pruned correctly, it's not so pretty, is it? Unless you prune it. You know these guys and these girls that they can make designs out of stuff? Isn't that exciting? I like it anyway. When we were in China, up in northern China, up in the Harbin area, there were those things everywhere. I mean, they made designs out of all the trees up there. It was really something to see and how beautiful it was. It is almost like any type of a material that has not been sorted yet. It's almost like going to the post office and they're bringing all the mail in and they're throwing it. And you walk in and you look at it. I would say that would have to be impure. Be able to have to go through all of that. Nothing is sorted, and nothing is in its a place. But in a spiritual meaning, it has the root of this word is about a ceremonial cleansing. But it's interesting. It's something that which entitles people to approach their a God. In other words, so then impurity then is that which makes people unfit to come before God. makes people unfit. Now, we think of impurity as connected to a sexual immorality, which it is in a word here. But as Christians, a lot of times, we begin to think about, yeah, that's impure. Oh, that's good. You know, that addict or that person over there that got printed out of red lock, that's impure. This person over here and that. But in reality, it is anything that makes us unfit before God. And that's so we can all sit here. We cannot sit in judgment, but we have to look at our own selves. We have to look at our own selves. It's that contamination of life with the things that separate us from Him. That separate us from Him. What are the impurities in our lives? It's really, once again, anything that makes us seem unfit. And we'll get to that. And I'm thankful that He doesn't leave us there. Yes, it's linked to sexual immorality here. It seems like that Paul is grouping these together. But it's anything that the Spirit is speaking to us. Titus, you got a hush over there. I had to call him out one time. I'm kidding. I'm not kidding. Titus, hush. It's anything that the Spirit is moving us to get rid of. Moving us to get rid of. Once again, when's the last time that the Lord spoke to your heart? When's the last time that the Lord says something to you and says, I want that gone. I want it gone. I want it gone. I know when I first got saved, the Lord wonderfully saved me back in 88 in that time frame and really got right. I mean, right with the Lord, and you know, and I still do from time to time. I love 80s music, you know. But I knew when the Lord came in my heart that I had, that was an area for me. He says, this has to be gone. This has to be gone. You know, I catch myself when I have free XM radio in my truck, you know, and I'll see it pop up. It'll pop up on the 80 station. I'll hit it and I'll go down the road and listen to two or three songs, and I'm like, wow, I remember that song. But it doesn't feed my spirit. It just feeds my flesh. And I'm one of these type of people. I'm not legalistic about this often. My children ask me. He says, you know, can we listen to this, that, the other? And I'm saying, you know what? You know, I believe as a Christian, for me, is I listen to Christian music probably 99.9% of the time. But there are times that I'll listen to something else. And here's the thing. Once again, there's no law against it. You cannot get legalistic with some things. Understand this. But if you're listening or watching or doing anything that's against God, that leads you away from the Lord, then it's wrong. That's just the bottom line to it all. It's just not right. And you have to make those decisions for yourselves, because my convictions won't be your convictions. But it's anything that the Spirit is pointing at or saying to me to get rid of. You know, I begin to just to think of some things, you know, that we need to get rid of. And that would be an impurity, would be a complaining. Do you enjoy being around anyone that is a constant complainer? There's one person that loves it. That doesn't love it, I mean. Is that constant complaining, that impurity in our life that really will come to a place that can separate us from relationships, that separate us from God, that creates this barrier to us because we're constantly complaining about something. Or a gossiper, you know, that's the purity of our lives, is that a gossip, that we tend to say things, we hear things, and we want to repeat those things. I've said this before, I'm thankful for my wife, you know, she's the last one to find out anything at work. She knows nothing. And when she said one time, why do I ever know anything? You know, what's going on? And I looked at her and said, because you don't have a listening ear. That's why. You don't have a listening ear. That's why. You can put a halt to gossip by not having a listening ear. Just don't have a listening ear. And therefore, people say, well, don't you go to down that hallway. She's not going to listen to you. Because it's a purity in our lives that separates relationships that separates us, begins to separate us from God. Because there's no way that we can walk in the Spirit and condemn others. No way. It's either you're for me or you're against me in this. There's no way that you can walk in the Spirit and say the things that we say. There's no way. There's no way. Here's one right here is sometimes we expect too much out of others that we don't expect for ourselves. We expect too much out of others that we don't even expect for ourselves. Oftentimes, as Christian folks, we expect these people to act a certain way, these people to do that, and when they don't, we scoff and say, yeah, I see that. I knew that they won't be this way, and we don't expect that much out of our own selves. Because we sit in judgment. We sit in judgment of it. Here's one that the Lord has dealt with me throughout the years, and I've gotten really much better on, but I still have those moments when my wife will say amen, is a procrastination of something, is something needs to be fixed at home. You know, we you know what I hate? It changed my light bulb. That should be something very simple, isn't it? But I put it off and put it off until, you know, we have the chandelier over the dining room table. It has about 2,900 of them in it, you know? I'll let it get down to two. Then I make examples like, I just don't like a lot of light in here, you know. But these impurities in my life, and I'm not saying what my convictions are, maybe not going to be your conviction. There are some things that are black and white, but there are some things that my convictions will be different than yours, and your convictions will be different than what mine are. But it's those things that I want us to understand when we walk in the Spirit. Is that there are impurities in our life that the Lord is saying, enough. Enough. This is hindering you to move on with me. I have such wonderful and great things that I want to see happen. But these impurities in our life, they keep us from, listen to me today, from really walking in the kingdom. The way He's called us to. And we miss out. We miss out. You miss out on an opportunity to share with someone God's goodness. God's goodness. Because these things, and I don't know why this is. Yeah, I really do. The word is clear. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify desires of the flesh. It gratifies us. As Christians, how can that be? Because it gratifies us. That's a question that we all have to ask ourselves. Conviction. When we walk in the Spirit, conviction has been, I'll say this with all the love I can. Conviction, I think, has been explained to us as something bad, something dark, something, I'll say it that way, something that is a bad. Conviction is the best thing that could ever happen to us. It's been explained to us sometimes. It's like, you know, you're going to convict the power of God. When it should be, thank the Lord, the Holy Spirit is convicting my heart. And that when He convicts my heart, that means He's loving me. He doesn't want me to stay in that same state that I'm in. He wants to move me out of that work of the flesh. He wants me to move on with Him and walk with Him. And because so when we're walking in the Spirit, there's going to be times when that conviction comes. And yes, does it make us feel bad? Yes, it does, because we are emotional human beings. We have emotions. And it should at that moment. It's not really, once again, it's not from God. It should be something within us that it moves us. That yes, when I've hurt someone's feelings or whatever the case is, it should, once again, I'm going to feel something. I should feel some pain because I walked outside of the Spirit. We should be thankful for that moment. when the Lord convicts our heart, when he snaps, it's like, oh, what have I done? We should be thankful for that moment. It's the Holy Spirit, as the Word has said here, is he's leading us. He's leading us out of these things into the fruit of the Spirit that we'll talk about now is joy. Joy. In Nehemiah, we find that the joy of the Lord is our strength. That apart from our circumstances, we find ourselves that we can have the joy of the Lord. As these impurities move out of our life, we can have the walk in the Spirit is joy. One of them is joy. It says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Jesus said it this way, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. And in other words, we're moving away again from this work of the flesh that comes from within us to the fruit of the Spirit that only can come from Him. And so when we strive to not to complain, when we strive not to gossip, as we continue to strive not to do these things, guess what? You're going to continue to do them. It's not about trying harder. It's about what? Surrender. It's about surrender and to the Holy Spirit as we walk with Him, as He walks with us, through us, and in us. We find strength in that. When I was laying on hands today, I've had every single one of them, I believe, says, I need strength. I need strength. But Billy here is dealing with major health issues, and the doctor has said, he's proclaimed it, that, you know, he might not be here much longer on this earth. When he walked up, he says, I want you to pray for my wife today. How could he do that? It's called the joy of the Lord. Apart from my circumstances. That's how. Is that the joy of the Lord is a fruit that when discouragement comes, that we sense down deep that somehow God is going to make it happen anyway. That His will is going to be fulfilled. Is that one thing that my daddy told me? And I said, Daddy, are you sure about this? He said, Son, I've never been discouraged in ministry, not one time in my life. I said, never. He said, not one time. He said, what do I have to be discouraged about? I said, well, maybe attendance is down. Maybe this. He said, the joy of the Lord never leaves me. In the midst of my worst circumstances, the joy of the Lord remains constant. It reigns constant because we're walking in the Spirit with Him, through Him, and Him through us. Discouragement can definitely drive out our joy. But aren't you thankful that our joy, we find it in the strength of the Lord? The joy flows from Him into our relationships. Instead of those impure relationships, those moments that we, whatever reason that we do the things we do, it should be the joy of the Lord down deep in our heart to speak life to people. Not to complain. Not to gossip. Whatever the impurities of the Lord is showing you that makes you unfit, as the root of the word means. It makes you unfit. Whatever those things are. Jesus wants to move us from where we are in these things to move us to something beautiful and great. I'm going to pick on Billy again. Oh, that's okay, Bob Billy? Happy, don't you know on time, but Billy. A family member told me one time before Billy got saved, says, I was scared half to death of him. Scared half to death of him. But then Jesus come into his life, fill his heart and life up with the joy of the Lord, and says, he's unbelievable now. It's unbelievable. in the midst of his health issues, when I'm around him, I walk away feeling different. Billy, I'm going to be honest. I'm going to pick on you the whole sermon, Billy. I feel different. I do. I feel encouraged. I do. I feel encouraged. I do. There might be times in his sickness that he's going to hit that rock bottom, but he has encouraged my heart so much I want to be there for him to try to give the joy of the Lord that's running in me into him. Understand this today. Understand this today. That if we find ourselves complaining, we find ourselves in these things, that once again, this whole understanding that God is upset and mad with us, wants to beat us, we got to slam the Bible down. No. The Holy Spirit is tender. He speaks to our heart and says right there, if you don't get rid of that impurity in your life, it's going to take you places that you don't want to go. Places you don't want to go. Listen to me today. Do you have the joy of the Lord? That joy of the Lord, is it present in your life? Or is it when people leave your presence that they're happy that they've left? Have you ever thought about it? When people leave your presence, are they glad that they left? There are some people that are so contagious with joy that I just hate to leave their presence. Heidi thinks that every day with me when I walk out. She says, please stay. Oh, Lord. I got in a flash there, didn't I? Probably so. I believe the true joy of the Lord is our strength. Beyond our circumstances of life, I believe that the joy can be down deep. Sometimes it seems hidden. You know, when I walk into a hospital room, or I walk into someone's life that has, life has just thrown them a curveball, and there's weeping, there's crying. It can even be a denial. But there's something about a Christian that's walking in the Spirit that is different. That's different. There's just something different. And that difference is that I'm not walking in my own strength. I'm walking in the strength of the God that God has given me to walk in. So wherever those circumstances lead me, yes, it's going to break my heart. It's going to do all things to me because I'm a human being. I'm emotional. But praise God, there's something about down deep. I sense the strength of the Lord. And I will say something my dad used to always say. I sense that it's going to be all right. It's not all right this moment. I just sense that I might even lose a loved one. But down deep, I know that I'm going to be okay. Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I wrote these words this morning and I put it on my status. Listen to me very clearly to sum this up. It is not the absence of these impurities that create the joy. Listen to me. It's not the absence of impurities that creates joy. It says, if I can do this, this, and this, then I have joy. The joy on it comes from the Holy Spirit in us and through us. It's my surrender. It's not because of the absence of these things that we have joy. A lot of people can, even I, we can take these things out of our life. And we can do these things, but we still don't have any joy. Righteousness only comes through Jesus. making us righteous, making us in right standing. Then out of that, guess what? I can walk in the Spirit. I can, these impurities that He is pointing out in my life, I can get them out. I can get them gone. Because conviction comes and that tender Holy Spirit speaking to me and says, right here, Tim. Right here. I want to move you a step further. I want to move you along. I want to use you in this area. But that impurity in your life right there is hindering you. It's hindering you. As your shepherd today, my hope and my prayer that you get from this today is that He wants to keep moving you. As you walk, if you're walking in the Spirit, guess what? That means you're moving. Means you're moving. You're going somewhere. You have a destination. That means you're moving. Means you're moving. And what are you moving to? And Lord, I believe in all of this in my heart is in sanctification and making me holy. Making me holy. Making me righteous. Making me holy. I'm walking in the Spirit and the Lord is just doing something beautiful. I don't want that to stop. Why? Because see, that's what He's caused me to. But because I'm also husband, and I'm a father, and I'm a pastor. So Lord, any impurities, convict. That should be our prayer today. That should be our hope today. And we know you want to do something beautiful with us. I want you to stand.
We're often shocked and amazed by those who are able to withstand the greatest challenges of life, yet remain joyful. In the depths of grief and pain, the joy of their life in the Spirit remains. I hope and I pray this week that all of us will commit ourselves to returning to that level of surrender, saying, God, may that joy be alive in my heart. Thank you again for joining us. Have a great week.